Welcome to the Doghouse here on ntnradio.com.
.com.
If you don't know, now you know. We do a extra episode every week for our Patreon subscribers. You can sign up for as little as a dollar a week on patreon.com. That's patreon.com/NTN.
And some say that's not enough, and others say that's way too much.
I did get a bill in the mail for somebody saying, I got to listen to that S, you better send me some money back. but I sent them too bad. This week we talked a lot of sports, and we talked about buying an entire country. We talked about Bryce Harper. We talked about the Indy 500. We talked about NASCAR. We talked about Tiger Woods, Kyle Busch, Greg Keselowski, Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Dale Earnhardt dropped the mic.
No.
But in a better way than...
Yeah, I did like it. You know, I did like what Dale Earnhardt did. But you can listen to that every week. It's like bonus content. I'm not going to say an hour of bonus content. Sometimes it's more than an hour. Sometimes it's less. It's just bonus content.
Depends how it works.
It all depends how it works. As you can tell, Ken's not here today. He punted.
I keep saying, like, don't tell anybody and see if they even notice.
They notice because they'll be like, nobody whining and complaining. But yes, Ken wasn't there. You know, this is the Doghouse. We are a two-wheel radio show. And before we get into racing, which seems to be the theme of what we've been doing, you know, we've kind of been pushing it towards a more racing show. This weekend was Rolling Thunder.
It's race season.
Yeah, it's also race season. But this weekend was Rolling Thunder, and I feel like we probably should talk a little bit about that because it's a huge event. It's in our area.
And this is the 30th anniversary.
30th anniversary. Warren did a little participation stuff helping guys stage at your Harley-Davidson, local Harley dealer.
Well, on the Saturday, the ride's on Sunday, so the Saturday before the ride, they had some pre-event activities at one of the local Harley-Davidson dealerships, and it was a Harley Owners Group pin stop. So a bunch of us rode over there. We checked out the vendors, listened to some music, picked up some pins and a T-shirt, and I brought Phil back a 30th anniversary T-shirt.
Yeah. It's a pretty nice shirt. But
in exchange for that, I got 5 wings at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh, that's nice.
That's a good deal. It was a good trade-off there.
And fries.
And fries.
And a sweet tea.
And
two
a sweet
sweeties.
Tea. And a sweet. Well, they will charge you for one.
Oh, damn it. They charged me for both. But yeah, no, and Rolling Thunder, it was the 30th anniversary. Yeah.
And I have to say the turnout was definitely more than it was last year.
Yeah.
But it probably wasn't anywhere near the high point. You know,
I don't know. There was a lot.
There was a lot, but not, I had to really say, because I traveled one of the main roads into the area every day going to and from work. Mm-hmm. I saw a lot more bikes this year than I have in the last few years, but still not as many as some of the previous.
I think the biggest turnout year I saw was the 25th anniversary.
Yes, that was the biggest one.
Monster.
It's probably close to 800,000.
Yeah, I would say they were 500,000 this year.
They're right at it, at least.
Yeah, there was quite a bit of traffic. They were on TV. You know, obviously Sergeant Tim was there saluting. It was a horrible day in DC. I live about an hour and a half outside of DC. Warren lives about an hour outside of DC. So Sunday morning, was it raining by you or was it just cloudy?
Yes.
Yeah, by me it was just
cloudy. It did
rain
a little bit.
But when I turned on Rolling Thunder's Facebook page, had a streaming live camera, which was good because I sat down and watched it for, I don't know, a half hour, 45 minutes just to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And looked like it was raining on those guys pretty good, and they were still riding through, and they were still,
going to and from the pre-event, I got rained on both directions.
Yeah, so, you know, it was a bad weekend, and they still had a bunch of people, right? And, you know, and it's amazing that 30 years ago it started with what, 8 guys?
About that, yeah. It wasn't very many.
It was
come
like
up with the idea.
Hardly any. Yeah, and they did the right. They put the permits and stuff, and I thought it was really cool. I got a bunch of friends that go every year religiously. You know, most of them are guys that served, right? And I can understand that. You know, me, I feel like it's an important ride and stuff, but sometimes at rides like that, I feel uncomfortable because I didn't serve.
Well, that might have been true a few years ago, but not
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, just me in general, like, I get it, and I completely support the cause of bringing all our boys home and finding the missing guys, right? I mean, right. I would go to war again. You know, I feel like that the patch that you see on some of the vets that says, bring them home or send us back, tugs at me, right? I mean, I get that. And,
oh, yeah. Definitely.
I you know, but a couple of my friends, and there was a lot of celebs there.
There was this year, and, you know, the Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, rode in it.
Yeah, some senators rode in it, a couple congressmen, a couple former congressmen. I saw a picture of a local club, guys that have been on the show with us, the Leatherneck Nation, got their picture with General Mattis was there.
Yep. So he didn't ride, though.
Secretary of Defense Mattis.
Yes.
Which is cool that we're now back at a point. I think the only thing that would have been cooler in my mind, and I can kind of understand why it didn't happen, although I would love to see it happen before the end of the 4 years, so I would love to see Mike Pence riding it as the sitting vice president.
I don't think the Secret Service will ever let him do that.
I know, but to me,
that would be pretty awesome.
That would be awesome, right? Political parties aside, to anybody that is a crazy Democrat, political parties aside, that Rolling Thunder is about our POWs and our missing in action guys, and we still have them. We have guys that are missing. We have stuff going on in the current war, right? It's not just Vietnam, although that was the backbone of this.
That was the genesis of it.
Right, that was the genesis of this. But to have a sitting vice president feel that this isn't important enough, that this protest ride that started 8-10 guys, whatever they started with that first year,
30 years ago,
that they have now that kind of support is just would be just amazing. I think
it is.
I don't know how to describe what it would. What it,
if you haven't ridden in it, you really need to just experience it.
I agree with that, and I will tell you this. If you have never sat on the side on, like, Constitution or on 22nd Street where you come by the Lincoln Memorial.
That's actually the best spot, in my opinion.
Yeah, right there by Sergeant Tim, right? About 300 yards before Sergeant Tim. Riding in it, you feel like, man, I'm in a big group. You sit there, and for 4.5 hours, watch the bikes go by, 4 to 8 wide.
Yeah, it's just not Harley Davidson. It's
not a lot of people think.
It's every bike you can think of.
And that they're 4 to 8 wide, nose to tail, for 4 hours. It's nothing you've ever seen.
Or heard.
Or heard, right? Rolling Thunder lives up to the name. And going over to the Pentagon and seeing some of the biggest parking lots I've ever seen, and that includes football stadiums, filled to the brim, overflowing, where they closed down a main highway, an interstate highway, into the area to park more bikes on. Right? They there's just a lot of people. and it's amazing to see how many people are involved and how well run the event is.
Oh, they got it. It's clockwork.
It is clockwork. Right, and they have their VIPs, and they have their this, and they have their that, but nobody feels left out. And then to see the guys who ride in the ride pull up to one spot, park their bikes, and go and cheer the guys later on, because the ride's only
2 miles.
I was gonna say 2 miles, 2.5 miles.
Yeah, it's not very long.
Right, I mean it's a if there was no traffic, it's a
single lap around the National Mall.
Yeah, and the National Mall's not that big. Right, then the guys get off and they walk back and they cheer the other people on. And I actually was there 1 year taking some photos with some people that were there for like the first hour. And they're like, "All right, we're gonna walk back to our bike and get on a ride. We'll be back in a couple hours." Right. So some people leave their bikes in the parking lot, walk over, watch the ride, and then walk back and get on their bikes and participate.
Well, you also got people like I've done in the past. Is you park and wait for the parade to start, and you're watching it, watch it for about an hour. Then when the police aren't looking, push the barricade aside and ride your bike into the parade.
Well, you know, I talked, there was one guy I met one year that says he leaves when he thinks there's about 40 minutes left. And by the time he rides around to how you have to do to get there, he says, I can usually pull in the parking lot as the last guys are coming through and I can be one of the last guys through. He's like, and it's just hammered out. It's awe-inspiring, and it's a cool event. And there were pictures of some celebrities. The CEO of Harley was there. There were some actors there. I don't remember who they were now.
The Terminator guy.
Yeah, the guy who played the Terminator, and there was the guy who played the catcher in Major League. You know who I mean.
Yeah, I can't think of his name.
The movie Major League where Charlie Sheen played the Wild Thing. The guy who played his catcher. In the movie, the catcher's name was Jake something. I can't think of his real name, though. But anyways, there were people there. There were several people from the White House, from the president's, whatever you call that, cabinet there. And I just think that was a powerful statement, you know, love or hate Donald Trump. That was a powerful statement by the guys involved. Tom Berenger, thank you. By the guys involved in his staff that, you know, I mean, Mattis, former Marine Corps general, right? This is important things to him. So it was just good to see some participation, because for the last 8 years, it's kind of been ignored, which I don't think is right. No matter what your politics
The only part that wasn't ignored was the leadership of the Roaring Thunder. They always got invited to the White House for a photo op.
Yeah.
But that beyond that, really nothing.
Nothing for the last 8 years, right? And I think that was rough on Rolling Thunder. But they had a phenomenal turnout. And then the day afterwards, right, Memorial Day Monday, well, I'm sure a lot of guys were doing it. Some people already heading back, right? Some people start heading back because they ride over from California. They ride from Texas. They ride from Washington. They ride from California.
Canada.
Mexico. People ship their bikes over from Australia. Right? I mean, it's a huge shindig of a thing.
I always like to look through the parking lot. And this year when I was helping stage the bikes, I always like to look at the license plates to see where they're from. Furthest one I saw personally was North Dakota. But I'm assuming, it had a guy from Canada, but I couldn't tell.
Well, that's the same thing.
Well, it could be. But I couldn't tell if he were in Canada because the license plate's tucked underneath the tour pack. So I was kind of busy trying to get direct traffic.
Yeah, you know, it's a cool event. I think it's cool that you helped out at your local Harley-Davidson dealership. And all the, what do we have, 5 in the area? Harley-Davidson dealerships?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six.
Right, they all seem to, everybody has a ride from their dealership in, and a lot of times the dealership takes the time to get them police escorted.
Yes.
So, I mean, even just sitting on the highway Sunday morning outside of D.C. and just watching tens of thousands of bikes, hundreds of thousands of bikes roll by you, right? 66, and stuff like that. It's a powerful, if you're a biker and that doesn't stand the hair up on you watching that and stuff, then, you know, maybe you should get back in the
page. You got other issues.
You got other issues. So I thought we should bring that up, right? Just because it's here. It's a big event. It's a great event. And it's good.
Like I said, if you've never done it, it should be like a pilgrimage.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't matter what kind of bike you ride. You know, there's cafe racers, there's sport bikes.
There's always that group of people on their scooters.
Yeah.
Which scooters. I love them, right? I mean, there's a group of people that come in on their, like, Vespa and Hayabusa scooter. Not Hayabusa. Hayabusa scooters. And, you know, and they come in on their scooters.
The Honda Grom, you see them occasionally.
Right. So it's cool. You pretty much can see everything there but a Motus.
You might even see the Motus there.
I don't think so.
You'll see long throw choppers.
The Volkswagen Bugs, the Mustang trikes, the Volkswagen Bug trikes, the Doom Buggy trikes,
you've ever seen in a photograph, you'll see here.
Yeah, you'll see there. And, you know, people, and the turnout is, okay, more people come to the one day of Rolling Thunder than go to Sturgis the whole 2 weeks, or Daytona Bike Week, or Laconia, right?
Yep.
Pretty much you have to combine all of them to get the same number. And if you're a purist biker, it's not commercialized.
No, there's very little you can buy or do.
There's some. Harley has their tents for their owners, hog owners' pins and stuff like that.
You always have the leather vendors.
The leather vendors.
They're not anywhere near the actual vent itself. They're all at satellite locations.
And there's more guys with pins and hats. And, you know, I'm always amazed about how many people with different patches from the different services are there, right? You know, like, guys, you can get the patches for your vest, where you served, when you served, and all that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always a ton of those guys and people sewing things on. And then they have the concerts and the speeches, and it's a big thing without the, you know, you don't have the wet t-shirt contest. You don't have the beer drinking as much. You don't have...
None of the events that I'm aware of, you know, they're usually over by 4 or 5 o'clock on that Saturday.
Yeah.
Because people are getting ready to go ride the next morning.
And like a lot of the American Legions and VFWs people camp at, right? They open up their doors and they camp at. So, I mean, it's just a cool event to come be a part of.
A lot of camaraderie.
Right. So anyways, all right, I think we can move on past that.
We can.
But we'll talk about another ride that happened this weekend. And it's a little sad. And last week we talked about, and it kind of screwed up our show a little bit, was talking about the passing of Nikki Hayden. Right? And it didn't screw up our show because, oh my God, what is that? You know, it just ruined the happening. It was not a fun show.
No.
I went back and listened, and there's no way. There's no positive.
It sucked a lot of energy out.
It sucked a lot of the energy out of us. It was just not. Unfortunately, it's something we do. We have to do. We feel we have to do. But over the weekend was the Nikki Hayden funeral there in Owensboro, Kentucky. And they had a bunch of bikers. And it was 10 minutes worth of bikers riding by. I saw some videos of it. It was pretty touching. I think the coolest thing, and with Nikki Hayden, it doesn't surprise me at all, is the amount of cruiser bikes and stuff in it, too, because he did race flat track, right? They were known as flat track racers, too. So there was a good mix. There were groups of sport bikes. There was a group of guys who went by on Nikki Hayden replica bikes, right? Which was, you know, sad and cool at the same time. You know, and there was a good turnout. I was shocked by the turnout, but I wasn't, right? I guess I was shocked because he didn't seem to get any media play here other than guys like us. Yeah.
I don't think there's a lot of people outside the motorcycle industry even knew who he was.
Yeah, unfortunately, I feel you're right on that.
Because the sports and entertainment network didn't have anything about it at all.
No. And to bring things full circle, this weekend was the 15-year anniversary of when the Hayden brothers swept the Springfield TT, and they raced at the Springfield TT and the Springfield Mile this weekend, flat track did. And the Hayden brothers swept the TT there 15 years ago. It was Nikki taking the win with Tommy and right behind Roger Lee. So it was just kind of weird that's the same weekend kind of thing.
It's kind of poetic.
Poetic and sad at the same time. You know, but I don't want to dwell too much on that. I just figured if you want, you could check out the video. It's up on YouTube. I think I'll repost it to our Facebook page tonight.
That'd be good.
So that people can watch it if they want. Looks like it was just taken by some random person on the side of the street. Wasn't like a pro shot or anything.
No, it's like a Facebook Live type.
It was like a Facebook Live kind of thing. But flat track did race this weekend. You know, unfortunately, the show and the racing must go on. And It always does. And this weekend is a weird weekend for the flat track series, right? The what they call the AFT singles, American Flat Track Singles, ran the TT course on Friday,
with a heck of a jump in the middle.
Heck of a jump. I mean, that was big air.
Yes, it was.
That was not little air. That was big air. And then
I was surprised they weren't trying to whip it to like the supercross and motocross guys do.
Yeah, no, flat track. You don't have time for whipping it in flat track, right? I mean, you got.
There were some guys catching enough air. They probably could.
They were catching enough air, but you got in supercross. Sometimes you do that to kind of scruff off the speed. In flat track, you can't scruff off speed, man. The flat track's all about the speed.
Well, according to the science of supercross, it's in order to get back on the ground quicker so you can accelerate.
Yeah, I don't know about that, because the flat track guys are still hitting the throttle when they're jumping. You know, I mean, the man racer. But yeah, so the singles ran there, I like the TT courses. I know not all flat track people do, but I like it. It's got left, it's got right, it's got a jump, and it's got a big old straight, you know, big old back stretch that you can throw your foot down at the end and plant it. Hayden Gillum won the race on his Suzuki. Jesse Janich and then Colby Carley. Janich was on a Yamaha, and Carley was on Carlisle was on a Honda. You know, Shayna Texter didn't seem to make the finals.
Nope, she didn't.
But that's probably a tough track.
Yeah, she won the last two.
She won two in a row, but that's...
But they were both just regular ovals. They weren't TTs.
Yeah, and TTs are rough, you know, and some riders just don't do well at it. But I thought I thought the racing was really good. I like watching those, and it's kind of fun. You know, at first I'm watching it, I'm going, oh my God, I can't wait to see the twins on this, right? You know, can you imagine?
Yeah, that's what I thought was going to happen.
And then I was like, oh wait, it's Springfield. I was like, oh. So
the singles ran the TT, and the twins ran the oval.
The next night, the twins ran the oval, which again, I feel like a broken record. Again, it was the Springfield Mile, which is a track I love. Big speeds there, big drafting, big racing, big corner slides. And Brian Smith on his Indian won again. Jared Mees in second. Sammy Halbert on the Yamaha. Yamaha's for real. Sammy Halbert's for real.
Yes, he is.
His biggest problem is that the Indians are realer than real. Brett Baker.
I thought the Harleys were going to get at least third, if not maybe a second and a third.
They looked good, but you can't run into your teammate, Andrea Dovizioso. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they wrecked each other. I mean, I for sure thought, okay, finally. No.
Yeah.
And they were both the XR, the XG, the new bot.
Yeah, it was the factory riders that decided to mix it up, right?
Yeah, to play pinball with each other.
Yeah, that doesn't work, guys. That just doesn't work. Brett Baker came in fourth. You know, now I know after the Hayden funeral, a lot of motorcycle racers from the U.S. went to it, and a lot of the flat track guys went. They all went down to the Gillum's racetrack. Hayden Gillum won the singles and did 3 hours worth of whatever, riding around there and racing each other, kind of celebrating the life of Nikki. I know guys like Brad Baker were there and some of these other guys. So I'm sure as crushing as the loss of Nikki was to World Superbike, MotoGP, Moto America, it might even been more crushing to American Flat Track, right? A lot of those guys know Nikki, have raced with Nikki, raced against Nikki, trained with Nikki.
They raced the whole family.
Right, and they raced the whole family. So it hit a lot of those guys. A lot of them did a hell of an effort this weekend to get out there and race and put on a thing. And there were tribute helmets and stickers and, you know, and stuff like that. And it was good to see. It's good to see that the motorcycle community was trying to support one of their own. And then we go to Glen Helen for motocross. Right, I mean, we just had a bunch of racing this week. We're gonna have a bunch of racing next week, but Glen Helen
actually more racing next week. We had a lot this weekend.
Yeah, we had a lot this weekend. Motocross hit Glen Helen, which I love. I want to go to Glen Helen. I want to go watch a race.
Looks like a cool track.
when you listen and you watch it, you know, you on TV, you go, man, those are big hills. And everybody I've talked to say, you have no idea how big those hills are until you watch it live, until you're there. And I want to go. I want to see it because they look like just some big old hills. And it's a great looking track.
And that's one of the things that Alex Martin or Jeremy, one of the two of them, when they were talking about the track in an interview, he said, yeah, on TV, this looks like a huge hill and a huge downhill. Come to it and see it in person. It's twice as steep and twice as long as it looks on TV.
Yeah, they had a couple other guys that were talking about it and stuff. And I want to go see that. I've never been to Glen Helen. I'd love to go see that. Maybe I'll have to do a Route 66 trip and end it there for Supercross, motocross one year. Right, San Bernardino? Hoo-hoo!
Give it a try.
I'll ride with you.
We'll have to
work that out, see if your wife will give you the week off. 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
She won't care because she'll want to go.
Oh, man. All right. But anyways, in the 250s, a little mix-up there. Jeremy Martin came out in the first race and looked pretty solid.
For a while.
And he... Well, I mean, he did end up winning it, so.
Well, which one of the Martins had a mechanical then? It must have been Alex then.
Yeah. Alex had a mechanical in the first race? Yeah.
I thought it was the first race.
Yeah, and then Jeremy had the problem in the second race.
Yes.
But
wasn't a great day for the Martins.
No, it really wasn't. Jeremy did get the win on the first race. And Joe Savacci looked pretty good, right? Got a second place. And I was like, okay, you know, and seeing Cirola didn't look so good. Zach Osborne looked pretty decent. You know, some of these guys, Plessinger, surprised by Plessinger's performance. You know, and I thought, okay, you know, I wasn't shocked. I think the biggest shock of that was that Alex Martin didn't seem to do that good. McElroth, who hasn't really been that impressive yet in motocross.
Well, I think the thing is with motocross this year, especially the 250 level, it's all over the place.
Yeah.
You don't have any good feeling that somebody's going to win a race week to week.
I feel like if you told me I had to pick a race winner each week, right, I feel like Jeremy Martin, because he is a two-time defending champ.
Yeah. Well, and I also think I'd go with Zach Osborne as well.
Yeah.
They're both performing well, but week to week, you don't know.
And Zach Osborne had a fourth in the first race and then ended up second. And it's very rare recently that you take the overall weekend win without scoring a win.
That's true.
But that just shows you what happened to Jeremy Martin in the second race and Dylan Fernandez, who won the second race, how bad of a time he had in the first race where he finished ninth. Right? I mean, there's just Zach Osborne came away with a fourth and a second to take the weekend, which is a little bit of a shock to people, right? That not so much that Zach Osborne took the weekend, that
you finish it with that. Those results get you
the race win, right?
Get you the overall.
It's been a while since
that's what
you
I'm
got
saying.
The
that the in the 250s, you just don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. So I like it because I feel like there's going to be some good things coming and good racing down the road. You know, I feel like that it should be a pretty solid race weekend. But Zach Osborne's actually pulling away with the points a little bit. He's got 90 points. Ciencerola is in second, which is a little surprising to me, with 69 points. And Jeremy Martin, because he just, if not for bad luck, he wouldn't really have much at all. He's way down
sure.
at 6 points with, and he's already 31 points back. That's rough.
Yes.
That's rough. It's still early, but that's
only,
rough.
Yeah, it's only the third round.
Right? It's only the second round. They're going to the third round.
Oh, okay, yeah, you're right.
Thunder Valley's the third
round.
Round
three, yeah.
You know, but that's rough. He's behind. 31 points is a lot in motocross, right? So we go to 450s.
Well, I don't think it is in the 250s because...
Right, because who the hell knows? Anything could happen.
Any one of these guys could DNF the first and second race. I mean, I don't think in 250s you don't have any clue what's going to happen.
Yeah, and that's kind of what makes it fun to watch. Then we go to the 450s class, And Marvin Musquin finally comes out in race one to have a race where you feel like, all right, he's stepping up.
Yes. And he looked like it, too.
And he looked like it. And he didn't have a bad race, too, right? He had a third. That's not a bad race, too. But he had a he beat Tomac heads up. Tomac got a lousy start.
Right? But he does that.
He does that. He got a lousy start, and he just couldn't catch him. And you thought, okay, you know what? Tomac looked good in race one, and Josh Grant, the other monster Kawasaki rider, looked pretty good. He came in third, right?
Yep.
You thought, okay.
The Kawasaki's are looking real good this year.
And you go, and I thought to myself, okay, that's what kind of party this is, right? It's going to be Musquin fighting the two Kawasaki's from here on out. And then the
I think that's a good chance that it could be.
And then the second race happened. Tomac, I'm not even sure how, but his front wheel just decided it wasn't spinning no more.
No. He had to go and cut the brake line again.
Cut the brake
kinda
line
like,
again.
Yeah. It something very similar happened to him in the Supercross.
Yeah, Kawasaki needs to look into that, right? That's a very similar.
Hasn't happened to Grant, though.
Hasn't happened to Grant, but it could be, I don't know.
The way he rides it, maybe?
Maybe. I don't know. That's definitely something. You know, if you see that once in a Supercross, Motocross seasons, you say, whoo-wee. Now it's the second time. Maybe look into it.
Yep. I'm sure they are.
And then Grant, I think he's actually still on the track trying to finish the race. I think he came in 28th. Warren actually beat him.
He had a rough day on race two.
He had a rough day where Marvin Musquin had a third. Jason Anderson took a win in the second race. He's looking good. He's had a fifth and a first. Blake Baggett had a decent second race. You know, a lot of these guys pulled up their standings for the overall on the weekend with the second race. Musquin managed to get that
overall. Yep.
Get the overall with the first and third. Jason Anderson second.
That's his first overall win.
Yeah, that's his first overall win. That's his first 450 win.
Yes. Right, so he's starting to grow into it,
being the lead guy on KTM.
Yep.
After
what he and Tomac raced there for quite a while last week, and then this week, I think his confidence has got a real big boost.
Yeah, you know, he's a talented guy, even though he's French.
Yeah,
right. He's a pretty.
He's one that doesn't surrender.
Well, I don't know about that. Right, the season isn't over yet. You don't have that championship yet, Warren. Don't you go dispelling a myth about the French. But he does have a 15-point lead now over Tomac. Right, is the same thing that happened to Tomac in Supercross gonna happen to him here in Motocross? Right, are we writing this book again? Tomac looked dominant at times, completely dominant during that 9-race win streak, and then lost because when Dungey had a bad race, it was fourth. When Tomac had a bad race, it was 60th.
Yes.
And
it looks like it could go the same route.
It looks like he could have that same problem. He's got to string some wins together. He's got to string
some podiums.
Solid weekends.
He's got to have consistent podiums.
You know, and he's and
cuz Marvin's going to get a podium, whether it's first, second, or third, he's going to be on the podium.
Yeah, you know, and you got to make that up, but Tomac, when you have a bad week, you can't let that bad week be that bad. Right, and I get it, man. It's a mechanical. Your bike wasn't running. You went into the pits. You went a lap down. You were, right?
He crawled a lot of it back.
He clawed back. Right. I'm not saying he didn't race his butt off, but that's a hurt weekend. That if he doesn't win a championship, you could put it all on race two of the second round. Right. That's a hell of a time to lose points. Right, you need to be packing on the lead here.
Yep.
But
you can also look at it if you're going to do it.
Because the second race
is the best time to do it.
Wasn't it the second or third race in Supercross that he had the big disappointment race?
Could be.
I think so. Right. So it'd be interesting, right? I'm not really pulling for either of them. I'd like to see Tomac get a championship. I'd like to see Musquin get a championship. I'd like to see somebody come up and surprise me.
And I think that person's going to be Anderson.
I don't know if that would really surprise me, but he's a little far back right now.
Yeah.
Right?
But that would just take a Musquin getting a DNF or Tomac having another one, and he'll be right in the middle of it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he's 33 points back, but that's not overcomable this early in the season, not unsurmountable this early in the season. not overcomable. I think I just, verbal trademark on that word, right? That was just a great one there. I don't even know what it means. I'm going to have to make up a fake definition for
it. It won't be easy, but it could be done.
Yeah. So I think I was worried going into the season that Tomac was just going to walk away with the 450s. I don't think that right now.
No.
I could be wrong, right? He could get hot and go on a tear like he did.
He won 9 straight in Supercross.
Yeah, he could go on a tear, but I think motocross in some ways is a harder season. Like the tracks are rougher.
They're longer.
It's a beating. I don't know if it's rougher on the rider more than it's rougher on the bike.
It's got to be rough on both of them.
And you're doing
30 minutes instead of 15 minutes.
But like if you look at the Supercross tracks, right, they're all dirt that's trucked in. It's packed down, so it's loose. It's going to form ruts. You go to Bud's Creek, the race. When these guys race Bud's Creek, which is our local track, maybe Warren and I will have to boogie on down for that. We might drag Ken out by his short hairs.
I'm not.
But I meant the ones on top of his head.
Oh, okay.
That's why I said short hairs, meaning two. But those ruts have been there for 20 years, right? The side of them ruts are like pavement.
You might be able to find dinosaur bones in them if you dig deep enough.
Literally, I think I got a petrified shark tooth at Bud's Creek out of a rut one time, right? I mean, it's just... It's a whole different monster, and that's rough on the bikes, right? We've seen some breakdowns, we've seen some problems with bikes, and that's pretty rough on the bikes. So they have Thunder Valley in Colorado. How do you say Colorado, Warren?
Colorado.
They have Thunder Valley in Colorado coming up, and then we have World Superbike.
I got a semi-rumor about World Superbike before you get into the racing.
Okay.
Dorna has announced that they're looking at going to a track in India.
India.
Sometime in the near future.
There's been rumors of that.
But they have said that they're only going to keep 5 overseas tracks because it's just too much work for everyone.
Yeah, that's been the problem is getting the stuff there. What they've had is bad turnout. I'm actually worried about them losing Laguna Seca or us losing Laguna Seca.
Well, that's possible. That is possible. Who knows?
But right.
they're going to only have 5, and India might be one of them, so it means somebody's got to drop.
Well...
And they're talking about they're definitely going to keep Argentina because they're building a new track in Argentina.
Yeah, well, I don't know if somebody has to drop, right? They only have 13 rounds this year. Last year, they had 14.
Dornas in this article said they're only going to keep 5 overseas locations.
Oh, they're going to drop an overseas round.
Yeah, so if you add India, you got to drop someone else.
Ooh. Unfortunately, we're part of that.
Yep.
I don't see them... Phillip Isle, the kickoff of their season, is a huge race. I don't see him dropping that.
No, neither do I.
I don't see him dropping Qatar.
I see that before. I don't know.
Obviously, they're not getting rid of Argentina.
No, they're keeping Argentina.
It would make sense to keep the U.S. if you're doing Argentina, maybe.
If you can do them one after the other.
And Thailand?
Do they race in Malaysia?
Oh, no, they race in Thailand.
Yeah.
Same thing, right? I mean, pretty much the
same thing. MotoGP's in Malaysia.
Yeah, MotoGP runs Sepang. Yeah, I don't know. Right, Qatar's always the closeout of the season. I don't know. That's rough. I hope it's not us. I hope we're not the round that
gets
punted.
Well, of the ones you listed, I'd have to say Qatar or the U.S.
Unfortunately, I have to agree with you. Although, Thailand, but they always get big turnout.
They got
there.
A huge crowd. You see the pan, the shots of the crowd? I mean,
yeah,
I think they're bigger than the European crowds.
Yeah, and they're definitely bigger than our crowds. And they get
definitely
way
bigger,
more exposure.
And they're bigger than the Qatari crowds because it's hot.
Yeah. Wow. That would suck if it's us. And that brings up something that I actually wanted to talk about before I got into the racing, right, is this weekend, I feel bad for World Superbike, and I don't normally feel bad for organizations like that, right? But this was their 30th anniversary of the start of World Superbike. They started 30 years ago this weekend at Donington Park was the very first World Superbike race.
At the same time as Rolling Thunder.
Same time as Rolling Thunder, but wow. I didn't even realize that. But they also had to, you know, their weekend was a downer too with the loss of Hayden.
Yes.
Right? So I felt bad for them because I feel like they would have been celebrating and rah, 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 cheering everything, and they just didn't feel it was appropriate. And that's rough, right? That's a rough call there. That's not an easy call. Because while you want to celebrate that your sport's been here for 30 years, you don't want to poop on one of your riders. And that's kind of rough for them. But what I did want to bring up is the amount of wild cards and how well the wild cards did there.
There was quite a few.
It was quite a few. Leon Haslam, back from the dead practically. Right? I mean, vanished into the realms of British Superbike to be vanquished forever. No, I don't think that's just me being a jerk. But he did well, and I feel like a jerk because when they come to the U.S., our wild cards are guys who aren't even serious, like Johnny Rockpage.
Yeah, and we have...
I'm going to say this. Warren's going to sneeze. I believe Warren's getting sick.
I think I am. I'm going to punch him
in the head. I want to say this. I want to put it out there. I'd love for people to tweet.
Yeah, Haslam even finished second.
Yeah, in the first race.
Yes.
Right? I mean, rode the wheels off that bike.
And why don't we have some of our Moto America guys?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Josh Hayes is just too old. Not that he wouldn't do what.
JD Beach would make a good wild card guy.
Right. Somebody from Super Sport. Here's who I'd like to see run the wild card there. Josh Herron.
He would make an excellent one.
I'd like to see Josh Herron. Except for Bobby Fong don't have the super bike. You put Bobby Fong on a super bike for that race.
He'd be competitive.
He's gonna shake the trees. He don't care who's raking the leaves. But I'd love to see Josh Herron in there. I'd love to see Cam Boubier there. I know Moto America's running with them that weekend. Either pull the double or say this is important to Moto America's screaming, we need to get exposure. How do we get people there? Go stomp some ass on the world scene. Liam Haslam stomped some ass on the world scene this weekend.
Yes, he did.
Right?
I think we have the talent to do it at the World Superbike level.
Yeah. Well, we don't have any prototypes here. That was a garage door closing. I thought that was thunder. I was like, we're going to die. We'll be back. He stomped some ass. Right? I don't know how else to put it other than he stomped some ass. And we need to do that, right? We got a month and a half or so until they're here in the U.S. We need to lay this. We need to get some teams ready. I don't care that there's a Moto America race this weekend, that same weekend. I don't care. Wayne Rainey
should get a couple of our racers.
Should be talking to the teams and saying, we need you guys to do this. Right, Josh Herron. I think Josh Herron would be perfect. He got some world race experience, right? He's got some this. I think Cam Boubier would be perfect.
JD Beach for sure.
Well, JD Durloff Beach has been running the 600, but I don't think JD Beach on a superbike is a bad pull.
No,
right? Hardest part is these guys are locked into a points battle in their respective series.
Yep.
But we got to get out there and show the world that we're not a joke. Maybe that'll bring some attention, right? Maybe these teams, listen, you want Laguna Seca to no longer be a World Superbike race for us? Keep putting, and I'm not knocking Johnny Rockpage because I actually like the guy and respect the crazy in him. But keep making that, guys like that are wild card, right? That's not good. That's just no good. If World Supersport, I'm going to say this right now, a lot of times World Supersport doesn't come to the U.S.
If Raya happens to DNF, there's a good chance that Josh Herron could win.
Yeah. Right.
If Rhea doesn't DNF, I don't think he's going to win.
But, you know, sometimes winning a Haslam did really well also because it's a track he runs the whole time, right?
Yes.
He know right. Super Sport's not coming.
Well, same reason Sykes wins the race, because he's been there for so long.
I'm going to say this right now, and we're going to have to tweet PJ Jacobson. I'm saying this right now. Some team in Moto America, or somebody somewhere with some money, which rules me out, or I would, if I had money, I would do it. Somebody needs to get a super bike that's competitive in that field and put PJ Jacobson on that bad boy in America and make him be the wild card. He needs to be our wild card. You know who else should be our wild card? And people are going to say, who? What? How about Jason Uribe?
He would be a good choice.
Right? Bring him over. Bring him back. See about that. But PJ Jacobson ain't racing. They ain't racing World Super Sport.
But he's not. He's still racing CEV.
He's racing CEV 600.
600s. Okay.
All right. But whatever. PJ Jacobson, you need to find yourself a damn ride for there. If I got to drive you in my pickup truck on out to California from New York, I'll do it. We got to pick up some hard rolls and bagels before we leave. Right? And pizza. Right? But I'll do it. But somebody, we got to get him on a super bike. On a track he's probably raced. Oh, I don't know. I guess he has raced that track. We just need Americans up there that are serious Americans in the race. I get so sick and tired of when the World Superbike comes to the U.S. and we put in a bunch of people nobody knows. And it's here comes the hate mail. Send the hate mail to Ken at ntnradio.com because he didn't show up. But it's like Azure guys racing Superbike trying to make it in, right? Not to be a jerk. Trying not to be a jerk here. But that doesn't make us look better in the world's eyes.
No, our top talent's not.
Our top talent's not, in not there. Trying. Right? Leon Haslam was trying. Right? I don't know what Liam Haslam's doing in British Superbike. I've been actually pretty bad about following British Superbike this year. I just have had a lot going on, and it's in England. And I just don't have time to follow everything.
And our BSB correspondence.
And Olaf has dropped the damn ball. but I feel like in general we don't make the world think we take them serious. And we're America, maybe we don't have to. But let's get into the racing.
Now, as we already alluded to, Rhea DNF'd in the first race and Tom Sykes won again. That makes his 9th or 10th victory at Donington Park in the first race.
Yeah, Tom Sykes is pretty solid there. I didn't pick him because I think that if Rhea hadn't crashed, he probably would have won that. But he did crash, right? And the most important part of winning a race is actually finishing the race.
Yeah, I took Davies, but he screwed it up and he wasn't and finished 8th overall in the
first.
Yeah,
he dumped it and then got back. So, I mean,
he was up there towards the front. He had a chance.
He had a chance, and he had a good run. I mean, right? Just sometimes you overcook it, right? Sometimes you screw up. But yeah, Johnny Rea dumped it with 3 laps to go.
Yes,
which was just a kick in the 3 teeth I have left. but Sykes won. Haslam, the wild card. Haslam pulls 2nd. Wild card, right? I want to say that wild card.
And he did a great
Moto
job.
Moto America, pay attention to that. Alex Lowe's 3rd on the podium in that first race. And Melandri, who got 4th, but hey, that means you start on the pole the next race, right? So I think...
I have rumors about that too, so when you get done.
Yeah, all right, I'm good with that too. I love rumors. I'm actually... We should do a doghouse poll on whether or not I should start a new rumor.
No, not yet.
I'm debating. I'm fighting the urge to start a new rumor. But yeah, Donington Park's always a great track, and Sykes walked away with the lead after Rhea crashed out. And for a while, we had the battle we envisioned. We were hoping to see this year and last year of Sykes and Rhea battling.
And we did get that.
And we did get that
in race 2.
In race 2, we did get that. And Chaz Davey was right there, right? I mean, all 6 podiums this weekend were by British guys, right?
Which is pretty much what it's been the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, except for the occasional Marco Melandri, every podium's been all British guys. That kind of makes it poor. They might as well just call this Big Boy British Superbike or something. Or World British Superbike. Or British Empire Superbike?
Could be.
Yeah, that's what I like.
The Empire Series.
Yeah, Empire Strikes Back. But yeah, Johnny Rayo won the second race, so he didn't lose his points lead or anything like that, but he didn't gain as much as he could. He could have packed on some. And Sykes came in second. Davies, Vandermark had a good all around weekend, I thought. Lowe's had a fifth, which a third and a fifth for Lowe's is actually a pretty good weekend.
Well, I think Davies only got to third place because of all the crashes in that race. Yeah, because at one point he was 9th, 10th, 11th, somewhere through there. And I remember saying that the only way he's getting back is if a bunch of people crash out. And shortly thereafter, people start crashing out.
So you're the one who jinxed Laverty, Krumanak, Melandri. No, those guys all went out early. A lot of those guys went out early. But Salvadori, I mean, there was a lot of crashes, yes. Right?
I think there's eight or nine DNFs.
Yeah, that's pretty big there.
At one time, there was only 14 people on the track. 14 guys on the track.
Yeah, that's how it finished. Just 14 guys, right? So there's a free point laying around there. You could have got up and pushed your bike.
And got a point. Well, a couple of those bikes, you could have pushed them.
No, there was some. It seemed like even Rea's bike, like when Rea went off his bike, it was like, oh, that's junk now. Right? There was none of this like, oh, hey, maybe I could ride it. I mean, it seemed like if you went off this weekend, you had junk.
Yeah, it beat him up bad.
Yeah.
Didn't quite, you know, it was like that one gif you see every now, gif, where, depending on your pronunciation, where the guy wrecks the bike and the bike breaks into two in midair.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't quite that bad, but
we almost saw that. They had a pretty rough weekend with just getting bikes to finish. But, again, Kawasaki looked strong. You know, even though Rea crashed, you still have to say Kawasaki in general dominated the weekend. They looked pretty tough. Rea did, actually, I got yelled at by a Brit, or a Scotsman, actually, because we call him Rea, because that's what we say in America.
Because he's got an A at the end of it.
But his name is Ray. If his name was Ray, it'd be R-E-Y or R-A-Y, right? But, you know.
Or E.
No, that'd be Ree. Maybe we'll call him Ree.
Yeah. Jonathan
Ree. We'll call him Johannathan. But I got yelled at, so I'm going to try and make the conscious effort to call him Ray. Because that's probably how you say his name. But I'll forget.
What are we going to call him again?
Ray. Rea. So I don't think there was any.
I'm gonna start remembering to try to slip the in there whenever you say Rea. That.
I don't think there was anything surprising out of this weekend. I don't think any of my thoughts on how the season's gonna go changed. Unfortunately, as far as storyline for the season, I just felt like this was just a step. Right? It wasn't. I don't think Rea crashing. In the first race is going to change the points battle that much. I mean, he's still up by like 400 million points or 75, right? 75 and you're in, what are we, round five?
Four or five.
Yeah, something like that. It's not changing anything, right? One, two, three. Yeah, that was round five. So he's 75 points up, and you're approaching the halfway point in the season. That's three full races. Oh, no, I'm sorry, 55 points up. My math's wrong. 205 plus 75 is 260. Yeah, I'm a genius. But he's 55 points up. That's two full races. That's over two full races. You don't see him crash out a lot. It's going to be tough. Sykes is now starting in a way to pull away from Chaz Davies. Or is his name Six, right? Should we ask the Brits?
Yeah, you got to ask him. If it's not Chaz
Davies or Davies? We'll have to send your hate mail to Ken at ntnradio.com. And it's probably
Lou. We could ask our European to English translator.
Yeah.
Javier.
Oh, you know what I just noticed looking at the championship points? They still have Nikki Hayden listed.
He still has the.
I know.
Still has points.
I know. I don't know how I feel about that. Okay.
Well, the rumor. I'll jump right in.
Oh, give me the rumor.
That they're looking at getting rid of the reverse fielding for the second race.
They have to.
Because it's not making any big difference.
Except making
people rush harder to try to get to the front at the start.
Well, I think that was part of...
And that's what caused Haslam to crash the second race.
Right. If it was taking guys 10 laps to work through, 15 laps to work through, then I'd say, hey, it's a success, and it's working.
By the end of the first lap, it's back to the regular guys.
Right, because you're not starting that much different on the grid. Right? You're still bunched up there. If you get a good start, you get a good start. I think if you're going to do some kind of reverse order, it's got to be a full reverse. First starts 15th or 16th, right?
And we've said from the start, this is nothing more than a participation trophy.
Yeah.
Feel good, social justice.
Well, I think they were trying to make the guy, I think they were trying to burn the tires of Ray and Sykes out. Right? I think that's what they were trying to do.
But there's too much talent there to keep. They're not going to stay in the back.
Right. Well, the problem is that it would work. It probably would work better in a MotoGP scenario where you have just that where the gap talent rider wise from seventh to first isn't as big. First to seventh in World Superbikes is a huge gap in talent. You have it's close, fourth to first, right? But even Melandri, I'm getting harder to make that argument, right? You have three guys that are a challenge to get by and to race in World Superbike, Ray, Sykes, and Davies.
That's it.
Everybody else is just pick them off. And for those guys going through the other guys, it's pick them off. If you had to race hard for seven or eight laps or five or six laps to get by Alex Lowe's, Vandermark, Forez, Camier, Torres, Laverty, any of these guys, right? And yeah, I can see your point.
And they're getting by, but they're getting by at by the end of the first,
by the end of
last lap and a half at most.
Right, they're out in the lead, and it's got to go. It's just not worth it. Right?
Yeah, after this race, Sykes called for it to be trashed, and the rumor is that they're actually are looking into not using it next year.
Yeah, and I think that's smart. Finish the season out.
It's not making any difference.
It's not making any difference. Finish the season out, and then you can say we tried a whole season of it. It didn't work. I don't know what the... You know what the equalizer always is? Is money spent, right? You can do all the gimmicks in any form of racing. You can do all the gimmicks in the world.
Unless you do what MotoGP did and spec out the bike.
Yeah, right. But you can do all the gimmicks in the world. It's Yamaha wants to be competitive. They got to spend money, or you have to make it so that the bikes are spent.
Either you got to dumb the bikes down so everyone's even,
or
they got to spend the money to bring
Yamaha
them up.
And Honda got to drop some dollars into World Superbike development of their superbike.
Well, supposedly Honda did with the new Fireblade, but we're not seeing it.
We're not seeing it. First year of a bike's always rough, anyways. But anyways, that's where they are. Their next round is in a couple weeks, where is that?
I told you.
Their next round is in Italy, right? Yeah, Misano, in a couple weeks. Their next round is in Misano in a couple weeks. So we'll get back to them.
Misano with a side of Parmesan.
Yeah, the track with one of the weirdest names ever. The Misano World Circuit, Marco Simicelli, which I just think is a bizarre name for a track. Not pooping on Simicelli, just saying don't like the name of the track. This weekend coming up.
A lot of racing.
We mentioned earlier that motocross is going to be in Thunder Valley.
Thunder Valley.
That's in Colorado.
Colorado.
Moto America is going to be at a good track for them, Road America.
Atlanta.
No, Road America is Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
That's Road Atlanta. No. And that's all right. Road America is Wisconsin. In Wisconsin. You know, good places to eat up there and stuff like that.
Cheese curds.
Get your brats and cheese curds and beer. But that should be a good series race, but I don't see anybody beating Bouvier up there. The Yamahas have been pretty dominant up there.
I think you're right.
I see that being rough for them. MotoGP is going to Mugello. I don't know how that's going to be.
It's going to be interesting.
It's going to be interesting.
If you're in the pool, get your picks in. Get them in early.
Or don't get them in so that I can gain on you. you know, Vinales looks pretty strong. Marquez's records are checkers.
Rossi.
Pedrosa has been coming on good.
Rossi, you have no clue.
Rossi, you literally have no clue. Is Rossi going to go out and dedicate? I kind of feel like I do last round of MotoGP. Is Rossi going to go out and dedicate this one to his buddy Nicky Hayden? And in Italy,
or
Rossi it, could tear us up there.
He could. Or is Zarco going to be the...
Zarco's win, right? Is this where Zarco starts showing that, hey, I can take the Tech Toy Yamaha to victory lane? And then American Flat Track, and this is just a crushing... It's like the bad news just keeps bad newsing. American Flat Track is going to be in Lexington at the Red Mile. What, an hour from Nicky Hayden's home?
Give or take.
And I'm sure they're going to have, I'm sure it's going to be a great turnout. I'm sure there's going to be lots of memorial things. I wouldn't be surprised if Tommy Lee makes it there. Roger racing in Wisconsin probably won't. But it's bad luck on the scheduling.
Yeah.
Just bad luck on the scheduling. I'm sure that's going to be rough on a lot of the riders, including the guys that were close to Hayden, you know, like Baker and Gillum and some of these other guys. Not that this past weekend wasn't rough, but now being just down the road at what would be the Kentucky Kids home track, it's probably got to even be
with
more
some
rough.
Of their with some of his family probably there.
Yeah, and definitely friends and definitely just memories you probably don't want to get into. But anyways, we got a bunch of racing. We'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody. Ken, you got anything to add to that?
Thank you, Ken.
Thank you. You know, I'm playing the wrong music because I'm literally playing the music we came into.
No one would have noticed if you had said.
It bugs the crap out of me. That's why I changed it. I'm like, ooh, that's good music. I'm like, damn it, that's the wrong music. Nobody's perfect, and that almost includes me.